Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Those familiar lines are from the old hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, penned by Horatio Spafford. Well, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? How are you doing? Many of us are trying to keep our heads above water as a second wave of COVID-19 has hit our nation. So today, we want to bring you some hope and encouragement as together we navigate this new reality we are all living in and having to adjust to. I'm Sandra Flack, your host. Thank you for joining us for episode 231 of the Orphans No More podcast. Today, we have a returning guest who will help us cope with secondary trauma triggered by COVID-19 and teach us some ways to help our children and ourselves. She's joining us from her cabin in Canada, so if you hear some wonky sounds in the background or if she sounds a little warbly, it's just that internet connection, so just bear with us if it kind of fades out a little bit. We're going to get through this. We prayed beforehand, so God's got it. So Ruby Johnston is co-founder of LAM International and Global Capacity Building Network. She is also the World Without Orphans executive team, serving as their capacity building coordinator. She's an amazing trauma-informed trainer. Please welcome back to the show, Ruby Johnston. Hey, Ruby.
Hi, Sandra. Thank you for inviting me. Glad to be here today.
It's an honor to have you back on, and I just love and value all the work that you and your husband, Lynn, do traveling the world, ministering and training parents and churches and caregivers and ministries in this area of trauma training trauma competent caregiving. And just it's such much needed work. And I'm just thrilled to have you back on the show today to really help us navigate through this time. The fallout of COVID-19 is wreaking havoc on families. All families, and I get to talk to foster and adoptive parents all the time, and most report that their kids are struggling. I know my kids are, and at times I feel like I'm witnessing a mental health crisis unfold before my very eyes in my own home, and it's a challenge for all of us. So let's begin, Ruby, by would you define for us what secondary trauma is?
Yes, and thanks. We are in such a difficult time, and we are totally immersed in suffering and loss around us and what's going on. And secondary trauma is just that compassion we have to help others and to be immersed in this and to sometimes feel that we are just overwhelmed without being able to serve, to do anything, or to really make a difference. So secondary trauma is that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness into some way, a state of exhaustion and dysfunction that we are exposed to all of this. And what do we do about it? And it actually, Sandra, it comes from our compassion satisfaction, because we're out there, we're caring people, we see what's going on around us, we have this heart and desire to serve and to be able to be a voice of hope and encouragement. And at the same time, the suffering and the loss that we're seeing that, oh my goodness, you know, I don't know what I can do. Can I do enough? Is there something I should be doing so we can step into guilt or disappointment? And essentially, it's very stressful. And instead of compassion, satisfaction, we find ourselves exhausted, and compassion fatigue and secondary traumatic stress are the same thing. So we can use those words interchangeably. And I don't know, but I'll bet a lot of the listeners out there have experienced some of that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I know that the stress of COVID-19 and having kids home from school for so long, and now they're out of school for the summer, and the economy and jobs and just all of those stresses that COVID-19 and the resulting shutdown have had on our families, that stress triggers past traumas, even in us adults. We're experiencing some of this, and it affects our parenting. And as we're trying to help our kids, it affects our marriages, our ministries, and it's a real thing. So I wanted to ask you, Ruby, with the COVID-19 really has created a trauma in all of us and our kids that many of us are parenting, many of our listeners, as well as myself, were parenting kids, we would say, from hard places. Through, they've been come into our homes through foster care, through adoption. They have past trauma histories. How is the trauma caused by COVID-19 and our worlds being sort of turned upside down, how is that affecting kids with trauma histories?
Well, that's such an important question, because we're really seeing the impact of the stress on children right now, and parents concerned about what do I do about this. One of the things that is happening, as much as what happens to us as well, that when we're feeling stress, what happens, our brain begins to go back to those pathways where there have been stress in the past, and it takes us back to past, and it takes us back to past traumas, experiences that we've had. So what's happening to us is happening to children as well. So we're immersed in all this suffering and loss and all this stress. Children are immersed in it. They're seeing parents that are worried. They're hearing stories of what's going on in the world. They don't know when their tomorrow is going to be different. And that's very stressful for children. So when those stressors are activated, when that brain begins to, you know, to turn on that part of the brain where the stress is living, it actually pathways right back to other things that have happened to the child, not even necessarily related to what's going on right now, but it takes them back to the same pathway, back to their early life experiences. So again, if we go back to what we all understand, we've all learned that all behavior has meaning, that the behaviors that we're seeing, sometimes it's a child that's reverting back to other challenging behaviors that we thought we had moved past, other fears that we thought we had moved past. And what's happening, the meaning behind that behavior is, I'm scared. This is too much like what was before. I don't know how to compartmentalize this. I don't have a feeling of safety, security, and well-being. And so the behaviors for the parents are puzzling. Like, I thought we dealt with this. This was something that we were past. But what the child is saying through their behaviors, it has taken me back to that place again. Developmentally, when I might have been much younger, much less equipped, with lots of risk factors in place and not very many protective factors right now. It's a scary place, but it's a place that a lot of parents are finding themselves in, themselves, as well as finding children in.
Yeah, and I think that compounds the stress in the home, because our kids are being triggered and we're under stress because of other things all related, you know, to COVID, but then yet having to help our kids, and it sort of snowballs, I think. And I know with my, you know, with my children, especially my youngest son, who's 14, and I've seen it and heard it with talking with other parents, is that sudden trauma in their early years where they were suddenly brought into foster care, or even my kids were in an orphanage, and then suddenly we moved them from an orphanage overseas to our home. And they're in a totally new culture with new language and new parents and or parents for the first time. And their whole world was completely changed almost overnight. And this COVID shutdown where all of a sudden everything was normal. And then one day school was done. We're not going back to school. And as the weeks wore on and it became evident that they weren't going to go back to school, it sort of replicated that same sudden change that they had no control over, that brought such uncertainty and unknowns, and then the fear. And I know, you know, my youngest son somehow has also, his anxiety is ramped up, but also has this fear of somehow he's related cancer to this whole thing. And if he has to wear a mask at school, he could get cancer, or, you know, any little thing could be, I have a headache. I probably have either COVID or cancer. Like he's, you know, all of these fears are going on because his world feels out of control and he's afraid and it's just escalated. So everything in our kids' lives really has been turned upside down. We don't necessarily have answers right now. We don't even know if school is going back in the fall, or we do know if it does go back, it's going to look completely different from what school in the past has looked like. And all of those things our kids struggle with. Most of our kids need structure and routine. And this is really, you know, transitions and changes don't go well with kids with trauma history. So Ruby, what can we do as parents to help our kids adjust and navigate through this new reality?
Wow. You know, there are no magic answers, Sandra, and I know you know that, and so do our listeners, but we must do something. We can't just stand still. And I have to go back to Dr. Caroline Leaf. I mean, she's so amazing and wonderful, but, you know, she wrote in her book, Switch on the Brain, which is such a good read for everyone. But one of the things that she says, I think, is so important for our children and to keep in mind is that we can change the physical nature of our brain. You know, we can do this. We can help our children do the same thing. So where the brain is not functioning in terms of finding that place of safety for our children, if we're going to change the physical nature of our brain, then we have to say, well, how do we do that? And Caroline says that we have to consciously direct and redirect thinking. Ours to change our brain, and our children's to help wire out toxic patterns of thinking that they may have. And I listened to your son's situation of thinking everything is now related to cancer. I mean, that's a pattern of thinking. It's there. It's irrational. It doesn't make sense, but for him, it does. So if we're going to help our kids, we really need to be able to be intentional and consistent to give them new messages of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. Information again and again, telling a child once who's in the survival part of their brain does not get the message through. We tell them, we tell them, we tell them. We encourage them and support them. And the other thing that I think is really helpful, and I would encourage all of our listeners to consider, when you first became the parent of this child, and you began to pour into this child to reduce the fear, to help increase the well-being of the child, what did you do then?
We played.
8, 9, 6 yeah. of years of age. But what you were doing is something that was on a we're going to replay it. We're going to go back and do it because we have to go back there. Even though we got through it, let's go back and start over again and be okay with that, because our kids don't really think of themselves at the age. They think of themselves as unsafe. What's going to happen to me? It's not working. My life is over. It's irrational, but it's real for them.
Yeah. When you were sharing this, when we talked the other day, I felt like, you know, that's so true. When our son first came home, we spent a lot of time playing with him, and because he hadn't really had much experience with play, but we played and interacted and tried to do fun things with him to disarm his fear so he would feel safe and begin to trust us. And it took a lot of time and a lot of repetition, and over time, he did begin to feel safe, and some of those ramped up behaviors did calm down. So really, right now, we have to basically go back and do those same kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. And a parent can easily say, I've done that. I've been there. We were over this. Well, we were over this, but we're in a new reality now. And our young people don't have the capacity sometimes to think through it even the way we would want them to or the way we do. So we have to recognize that, well, it's a new reality for them and it's a new reality for me too. I can't continue on the way I did. I have to go back and maybe revisit the way I used to do things in order to bring my child forward again.
I agree. And I know with, you know, with our son just trying to, you know, the other day I was trying to think, okay, what was the last time I observed him happy or that he expressed happiness? Because I was trying to think of what could we do that would make him feel happy and safe and all of that. And it dawned on me that every morning that he would get up and get ready for school, as we were getting ready, he would express, I'm so excited I get to go to school today, or I'm happy to go to school. And my heart just broke because I realized, you know, in all of these weeks, I think it's been 19 weeks since he was actually in the school building in school, I haven't heard him express that he was happy about anything. So that just broke my heart because I can't just get him back in school to fix that. But we did actually hire a tutor for him. She is a woman from the school, a TA, a teacher's assistant from his school building that he was familiar with. She was looking for some summer work because all of our teachers and administrators are struggling as well. And so she's been coming to our home during the week to work with him for a couple hours each morning. His school teacher gave her the work that he could be working on. They were both familiar with his IEP. So we've built some structure, and my son needs super structure to feel safe and secure. So we've built some structure into the day. We've brought in some familiarity from school, and that has helped, you know, because although that has helped for those 2 hours, but the rest of the day, we're having a hard time keeping him out of his room because he's sort of self-isolating because that's a safe place for him. He'll go in there basically he listens to worship music and he rocks, which is an old, you know, orphanage behavior for comfort, which he's sort of done all along. It's just sort of part of the way he decompresses after a day of school. He would come home and that would be the first thing he would go to. Now it's all he wants to do all day long, unless I'm very intentional about bringing him out of his room and engaging him in some kind of activity. But it's really difficult, you know, especially working from home like I have to and the other responsibilities. So it's quite a challenge. And I know not just for me, but all of our listeners in various ways with our kids struggling, we have to be creative and we have to find ways to help our kids to feel safe and to play and to have fun.
I really encourage families to make plans with their kids for that very reason. Sit with them, look at what's our plan for this week, what's our plan for next week. It helps to put some structure into the day, but it also gives them moments of hope, things to look forward to, and it also gives them control because they're making some decisions as well. When we look at the reality of our kids right now not being in school, not being able to go to splash parks, to community pools, not to go out in the park to play on playground equipment. Those things might seem simple activities and maybe, you know, meaningless to some, but they're very meaningful for child development. And what is happening right now with the isolation of our children from those routines that are critical for the development of a child, for their brain, their body, etc., with those being missing, our kids are struggling. What do we do? Who are we? What is life going to give us? And then the questions that they don't even really have, and maybe questions for that are related to what's going to happen in the world and to them and to their family, etc. So I really encourage planning with your kids. Sit and plan. Do a year plan. Okay, when COVID moves forward, what are some of the things we would like to do? And then what can we do right now to prepare for that? So that gets you maybe doing some research and looking at places you'd like to visit, maybe a particular waterfall that you've always wondered about, and you can do some research on that to start to build pictures on what that would look like and draw pictures. I encourage people to put things on the wall where kids can see, this is what we're going to do next week. This is where we're hoping to go in a year. And this is what we have to do to get ready to go there if we can go. It is such a critical developmental loss of our kids. And the longer this goes on, the more concerned I become of what the developmental impact will be. So whatever we can do to build connections where kids can be connected with their peers, where they can have playtime, where they can have discovery, find awe and wonder in their life, to just be able to look at something or to experience something that's like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And right now it's hard to do because of our social distancing. So we have to be really creative. I have to think outside of the box. I mean, I heard something the other day I thought was awesome, is that a child was always excited about the birthday party. And a lot of kids have had this experience, no birthday parties. And so what they did is this particular child, they called four of the families that this child plays with and said, we want to have a birthday party and nobody can come over, but can you at, and then give it a given time, can you just drive by with your car, put your window down and maybe have a little happy birthday sign, and we'll be sitting on the front porch. And all of those four friends can drive by with a happy birthday sign for my son's birthday, have a little kind of a, almost like a virtual birthday party. I thought, how creative. And that's about as, we need to be that creative.
Yeah. It's imperative. And I love your idea of going over plans, because my youngest son, as I was mentioning earlier, he, even before COVID, he always would every day say things like, what are we doing today? What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing next week? What are we doing in, you know, 2 months from now? What are we doing next year? Like, he always needed to know what was coming. And of course, in this uncertain time, you know, I can tell him what we're doing today. And at one point in the midst of the shutdown, it was like, well, we're doing, and when he would ask me, what are we doing tomorrow and next week? Well, basically the same thing we're doing today. But, you know, you've inspired me to consider sitting down with him, you know, on Sunday and planning out the coming week, and maybe asking him, you know, what would you like to do, and seeing how we can kind of set some, make some plans and put some things in place and work toward things. So, I think that's a great idea. So thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder. So Ruby, in order for us to help our kids, we need to be taking care of ourselves. How can we, as parents, most of us under a lot of stress with work and home responsibilities, and then having to balance work and home responsibilities because we're home for both. How can we help our kids, help ourselves, I should say. I mean, like I said, my kids have been home for 19 weeks straight between the school closing and then now summer vacation. 19 weeks they've been home, 19 weeks we've been navigating through this together. I know self-care is a big, important term, and sometimes we poo-poo it as very busy parents, but we need to take care of ourselves. So prescribe us some self-care.
Well, self-care is critical, and self-care is not selfish. That's kind of my mantra right now, is that it's not selfish, and we must take care of ourselves. The wounded cannot lead the wounded. We cannot serve our families and our children who are suffering if we're not taking care of ourselves. We're seeing parents everywhere that are emotionally exhausted, that they have mental and physical exhaustion as well, decreased interactions. They're withdrawing their conversations and communications with their children, with their family. And everything becomes a big challenge and a chore. So when we talk about self-care, the the first thing we have to recognize, it means that we have to make intentional decisions to do things differently. We have to step into taking care of ourselves and really going back to making sure that it is well with ourselves and is well with our soul. So when we're looking at self-care and intentional care, it's making a choice that I am going to think differently. I am going to take charge of my thoughts. I'm going to take charge of and master my way of thinking so I can master a new way to be. And in that, when I am caring for myself physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, cognitively, socially, when I'm doing all of that intentionally, it is hard because of the tendency to withdraw instead of go forward. And the only way we can be okay to find that place of calm and peace with ourselves, to be healthy, is to step into self-care and not feel it selfish. So I always just look back and say, what are some of the things prior to COVID that you would do that brought you joy? And are you doing them now? What are some of the things maybe you did before your world pre-COVID even got busy that you used to do? I have picked up painting again. Others have picked up exercising or running or listening to music or writing. A lot of authors are coming out of this today. So finding something that brings joy to you, and then not just finding it, but scheduling it, being intentional, and then to sustain that attention to that item to be healthy. I call it the ABCs. And first of all, the A is that you need to be aware of what the stress is doing to you. The B is that you need to find some balance, that it isn't all about the COVID. The balance is time for you, time for your children, time for your husband, time for your wife. Find some balance. And then looking at the B, finding the balance in making those things intentional in your life, is then the C is then to find yourself building back, maintaining, and increasing connections again. We need people in our lives. You know, get busy, get on Zoom calls with your family. Schedule a little girl time for maybe a favorite girlfriend that you don't get to go have coffee with anymore. Make it a silly time of just let's get together and talk about what's been silly and fun in our life the last 24 hours. But make it in healing for you and go forward. One last thing on that, Sandra, and I know that I've kind of shared a lot in rambles, but I have to go back. There was a researcher years ago in Canada. His name was Hans Selye. And he was probably the most respected researcher in stress when he was alive. And he made an amazing discovery that I have so embraced in my own life. He said, when your body is physically tired, do something mental. Read, meditate, pray, you know, listen to praise and worship music. But when your body is physically tired, do something mental. When you are mentally exhausted, can't think anymore, you're cognitively a mess, then do something physical. Get your running shoes on, go for a walk, get your kids marching to a drum beat in the house and pounding on pans and being as silly as you can be, but do it something that's really physical. And the reality is that really does help. But let me also point what the barrier is. The barrier is that when we're tired, exhausted, it's hard to sometimes get up out of our chair or get out of our despair and to be intentional to say, I am going to make a better choice. But we can do it if we are committed. Do you want to be healthy? Then we have to do healthy things.
Yeah, we have to be intentional about it. And I know you said that. I know I had kind of early on in the first couple of weeks of the shutdown in March, I fell into this bad routine of, I'm up early in the morning with my husband before he goes to work, but I found myself before doing anything else, I would check, I would use my phone and I would check the news to see what was going on. And then I would check some Facebook. And after a while, you know, 30 minutes would go by and I've kind of soaked in all of this negative stuff. And then throughout the day, between working from home and having to help my kids with school, I was sitting all day long. I was not eating well. I was feeling a lot of pain from too much sitting. And I wasn't feeling good in a lot of different ways. And I recognized, you know, praying about it, I recognized I'm wasting a lot of time early in the morning. With that 30 minutes, I could be doing something to take care of myself. So I started doing some yoga, just getting the yoga mat out and doing a whole bunch of stretches so that my back would feel better. And it's taken, so I've been doing that every morning. So that 30 minutes where I was wasting it and stressing myself out with news and negative reports, I began using that time intentionally to take care of myself. And now 3 months later, really, I'm stronger. My posture is better. I don't have pain from sitting all day because I've built up my core muscles better again. And I'm just feeling better. And I had to take ownership of that. And I had to be very intentional that this is how I'm going to start my day. This is what I'm going to do. Because, you know, once my day got going with everybody else, I wasn't going to be getting that in. I had to commandeer that time back and use it for positive things instead of negative things. So balance, like you mentioned, is so important there. Now, Ruby, I know you have produced, I believe, 9 videos offering hope and encouragement during this new reality of COVID that we're in. Where can our listeners find them? What are some of the topics that you address in those videos?
Okay, I'm glad to share that. And I love what you just said as well, Sandra, because you have to learn a new way to think before you can master a new way to be. And you just reminded me so much of one of my favorite verses in Philippians 4:8. Because getting up in the morning and doing the negative stuff shapes our day. And what Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Isn't that cool? Because, I mean, it does shape it. It sends us into a different way to begin our day, and I love that. But anyway, about the video, yes, I have really felt that God just really led me to sit and to do videos on stress busters during COVID. And I've made 9 of them so far. I have a 10th one and that'll finish the series. They're on Facebook, on Lamb International. You can find them on Facebook, but they're on YouTube and they're in a playlist, and I'll make available to you the link. So you can send the link out to listeners if they're interested. But there, those particular videos, the first one started out of just the real understanding that we're making memories right now with our kids. You know, we're living in the present and we have an opportunity to make good memories or an opportunity to, or to miss the opportunity. So the first video is really about making memories with your kids and looking at COVID and finding ways to make good memories. And then the second one is on having hope and being hopeful and being a person who can encourage. The third one is on thinking differently, and it has 2 parts. It's the initial one is just how we shape our mind and how our mind can be directed to think differently and how important it is to take charge of our thoughts. Videos 4 through 7, there are 4 videos there that are talking to kids about COVID. So it's talking to littles or talking to teens. And then there are 4 talking points to talk with teens about what's going on today and about feeling stuck and all the things that they're experiencing. And then the 8th video, which is interestingly gotten over 1,000 views on Facebook, it kind of blew my mind. But it tells me something. It's on quality versus quantity in marriage during COVID time and how marriages are struggling very much during COVID and mm-hmm. as a result of the lockdown. And that has really come back to be confirmed in terms of the number of people that have just picked that up off of Facebook and looked at that video. And then the last one, number 9, is about thinking differently again, and it's digging deeper in that we can take control of our thoughts, just like Philippians 4:8 says. So that's the videos. I'm glad you asked about them, because I think they might be helpful to some people if they're interested in peeking at them. They're short. They're only 4 to 5 minutes long.
Absolutely. 4 to 5 minute long videos and of encouragement and helping us navigate that time. We always want to provide our listeners with great resources. So we'll definitely post links to the videos in our show notes and in the corresponding blog post for this episode. Ruby, before we wrap up today, anything else on your heart that you want to be sure our listeners hear? What do you want their takeaway to be from our conversation?
Well, you know, interesting. I just now was thinking about Mother Teresa. I know this is kind of going off on a little bit of a sidetrack, but with the work that she did in Calcutta and with her group of nuns and the work that they did working with the poorest of the poor, one of the things that she wrote in one of her strategic plans to her leadership was that every 2 to 3 years, her nuns needed to take 1 year off of complete respite on a sabbatical to recover from the hard work that they were immersed in. And I think what's on my heart right now is that we might not be able to take a year off from parenting or our marriages, et cetera, but if we're not taking a little bit of time off each day, we're probably not giving our loved ones or ourselves what we need in order to move into that next place where we can say it is well with my soul. We are designed for a purpose. We're designed for a wonderful purpose. And the stresses that we're under are part and parcel to life in general. But taking care of ourselves, making sure that we do spend time of ourselves, is a responsibility, an obligation that we have for ourselves, for our colleagues, for our loved ones, for our children, not to be damaged by this COVID situation, for this stressful time, to the extent that we are losing our families, losing our children, losing our relationships. So I think really what's on my heart again is that we need to be intentional. We need to take charge. We need to take control and to recognize that I am the master of my heart. And I am the master of my thinking, and I will not allow the circumstances of today destroy me, my relationships, or my family. That's on my heart.
Great words of wisdom. Thank you so much, Ruby. How can our listeners contact you or learn more, follow you? Do you have a website, an email that you can share?
We do. The website is seldom updated as much as it should be, but it gives you basic information and then other links. But it's laminternational.org, and you can find us there. And then there's a Facebook, and that's Lam International as well. And email, easy again, laminternational@gmail.com. And then we have a blog, which is laminternational.blogspot.com. So those are all ways that people can contact us. But essentially, if you go on the website, it'll have all those links on it as well. So yes, and please, if there's any listener that would like to, you know, shoot off an email and just share your story or ask a question, I don't have all the answers, but I certainly can listen and would be glad to just to chat back and forth a little while to give hope and encouragement. Love to do that.
You certainly gave us hope and encouragement today. So we thank you so much for that. And we're going to post those links as well to where people can reach out to you if they desire to do that. Ruby, thank you so much for joining us today and for teaching us and helping us to navigate this new reality.
Well, thank you, Sandra. I'm actually humbled that you'd even ask, but it was such a pleasure to be able to be here and to share a bit. And again, I just wanted to just share with you and all the listeners that, you know, our children are struggling, and we do have the potential to help them through this. Sometimes it tires us to the to the last breath of our day, sort of, but it is so worth it. Okay. Take care of yourself. You'll take care of the kids better too. That's all.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Ruby.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And thank you for listening today. I hope you were encouraged to stay on course and intentionally choose joy, peace, and kindness. I know that I am. Before we go, I'd like to give you a little ministry update. So far, nearly 1,000 local children in crisis have been served by about 18 churches who partner with our ministry, Justice for Orphans, in our Care Portal network. We really are looking for some more churches in both Schenectady County and Albany County of upstate New York. More churches means more children served. So if your church would like to be part of transforming the foster care system, especially in your county, enroll in Care Portal. You can just go to careportal.org to learn that. And actually, I've got an incredible story I would love to tell you about a need that we just recently met. My church, Abounding Love, is a Care Portal church, and we just responded to a need a couple of days ago where we went into the inner city of downtown Albany and to make a delivery to a family with 6 children. It's a blended family, and they needed, we delivered 3 twin beds, 3 dressers, bedding, dishes, and really they need a whole host of other things, but those were the specific things that were requested. And it was 93 degrees out, and we partnered with another church that was even closer to this family geographically than our church is. And several of the men carried all of the furniture, heavy furniture, up to the second floor apartment, but then we were down out on the street, and when the delivery was over, we just asked the family, would we be able to pray for you? And they were jumped at the chance. They were like, yes. And they reached their hands out so that we could form a prayer circle. They initiated the prayer circle. And the 2 pastors that were with us led us in prayer. And the family was just so touched and so moved, and then wanted to know what time is church on Sunday? You know, that church that was only 6 minutes away from where they live. They were very inspired and very interested in connecting with that church. And that's really what Care Portal is all about. We may make a delivery of a physical item. You know, we know that night there were 3 children no longer sleeping on floors, but are sleeping in beds. And, you know, we know that there was that physical delivery of items, but it's not just a transaction of goods, but a connection was made and relationship is continuing to be built. The family really needed some extermination done in this apartment that they just moved into, and the carpets really were, you know, in very bad condition, and at the very least need a good cleaning. So the 2 churches are working together to go back and provide some of those things for that family. The family didn't ask for those things, but we observed the great need for them when we went there for the visit. So we're just thrilled to be able to continue to wrap around that family and build relationship with them. So it's an amazing ministry. We'd love for your church to be involved. Really, those 6 children needed in that family, there were things that needed to be in place to bring some stability and keep those children out of foster care, because that was the direction that family was going without the help and intervention provided by the church. So we're very excited. And we're in 2 upstate counties, like I said, Albany County and Schenectady County. We have a vision to expand Care Portal into all 11 counties, so we have 9 more to go. But in order to do that, we need the funding to be able to make that happen. So I want to let you know about our 2-part fundraising extravaganza. So if you are local, the first part is Friday, July 31st, so very shortly. It's at the end of the week. This week that you're maybe listening to this podcast, we're hosting a Christian comedy evening at Liberty Church in Schenectady. It's a free event. CDC guidelines will be followed. which means there's a limited capacity. The church holds like 800 people that we're hosting this in, but you know, we're really limiting it to about 150 to space everybody out. But we really need a live audience for our comedians because the event will be professionally recorded and a whole bunch of fun, but we're going to use the recording as part of our virtual fundraiser that will go live on Facebook and YouTube on Thursday, September 17th. So wherever you're listening from, you could take a peek at our virtual fundraiser. It'll be, like I said, September 17th, and it will be live, and we would love for you to check it out. Part of the time that we're going to be together, it's only a 90-minute fundraiser online. It's going to feature some of the comedy nights. You're going to get to hear our comedian. So lots of stuff going on for there. You have to register for the in-person event that's on the 31st. So you have to go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, to register. The registration is because we need to know how many are coming because we have limited seating capacity. And of course, anyone can join us for the live virtual fundraiser, maybe even host a watch party, invite some of your friends or family over to your house to watch the virtual event. Like I said, it'll include some of our comedy show, and you're going to be able to learn about Care Portal and Justice for Orphans, and even make a donation to support the ministry. So mark your calendar. The virtual event is the 17th. And you can find all the details on our website again at justicefororphansny.org. Please keep both events in prayer. It's a huge step of faith. We're navigating completely new territory, putting together these two events. So we really would value your prayers. So again, I want to thank you for joining us today. This is episode 231 of Orphans No More. If you were inspired by today's show, I know I was, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. And please share it with your friends on your social media. We really appreciate that. And of course, let us know your thoughts, any topics that you want to listen to. If you have guest suggestions for folks we can have on for me to interview, we love hearing from you, our listeners. So contact us at justicefororphansny.org. You can even email me at sandraflack@gmail.com. Also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. Stay tuned to this podcast and our social media for news about the release of my soon-to-be published book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. Looking forward to having that project come to completion and in our hands very soon. Thank you again for listening, taking the time out. We hope to serve you, and we hope you feel like you really got something out of this episode today. We really want to make sure that we're offering you some hope and some encouragement and inspiration as you navigate your journey. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to being together next time on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.